This morning, I want us to look specifically at a couple parables that Jesus tells in Mark chapter 4, beginning at verse 26. And we're going to talk about the kingdom of God. And I think sometimes we look at that and we think, well, the kingdom of God, that's heaven, that's future tense, that's something that's yet to come. And Jesus talked a lot about the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven as he ministered on earth. And there were times that he talked about it in a future tense. There were times that he talked about it in the sense of a soon arrival. And there were times that he talked about it as it was already here. Think, what would it look like if you and I were to live every day as a kingdom citizen? Most of us have, at least in our mind, an idea of what it looks like to live as an American citizen. And while we may agree or disagree with the way others do it, we have an idea of what it looks like to us. And quite frankly, we typically have an idea of what it ought to look like to others. But what if we had that same clarity in living as a kingdom citizen? What would the kingdom of God look like this week? What would it look like in whatever you're doing? And I want to take a look at these two parables that Jesus connected together out of Mark chapter 4. And to kind of set the stage, I want to read these beginning at verse 26. Jesus speaking, he also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, and then the full kernel in the head. And as soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come." Again, he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? Why, it is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground. And yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade." And with many other and similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable, but when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. The kingdom of God. What would it look like if we were to live that more fully? As is my custom and pattern, we're going to use a word as the acrostic outline. The word's God. And we're going to look at these three elements that I believe the kingdom of God is and that God wants in us as his kingdom citizens. As those called by God to be his, we belong to a kingdom of growth. The first part of being a kingdom of God is to recognize that it is a kingdom of growth. We look at that in the physical world. Anything that sits without growing, we really believe there's a problem with. A new baby comes into the world. I always find that a strange phrase because is there such a thing as an old baby that comes into the world? But anyhow, that's my mind getting sidetracked real quickly. But a baby comes in the world, and if it doesn't grow, we're taking it to every doctor and specialist that we can find, trying to figure out why not. And as Christians, we're born into Christ. We're born into this kingdom of growth, that there's an expectation of growth that is noticeable. In verse 27 that we read, he says, "Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how." As we consider the kingdom of God that we're a part of, when we consider living as kingdom citizens, how much are you growing in your relationship with Jesus? How much are you growing in faith? How much are you growing in the practical ministry of serving others that God has called us to do? And Jesus says the kingdom of God is like this seed that's planted, and even the one that planted it has no real idea of why it grows. It just does. And we recognize from God's word that there are things that we can do to kind of cultivate the soil of our heart, to kind of water that seed as it's been planted in us, that helps it to grow. But there's a reason the Bible describes the good news of Jesus, the gospel, as a mystery. There's elements of it that we will never fully understand, and yet it continues to grow. And in your life and in my life, in the life of the church body, God expects growth as a part of His kingdom. Now, that looks different from time to time, and sometimes we get all caught up, and when you hear somebody talk about church growth and you hear somebody talk about personal growth, well, I think part of our American mindset, part of our human mindset, is we have to measure it. And it's not a bad thing to measure it, but the important thing is God views measurements typically differently than what we do. He looks deeper than the surface. And we can build a house of cards that looks big from the world's standards, but God might look at it and say, there's really been no growth there. It's just the facade. So when I talk about a kingdom of growth, I'm talking about a kingdom that grows in Christ. That Christ Himself is the head. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 6, he's talking about this. He says, all over the world this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace and all its truth. And so in this kingdom of growth, we're growing because of the good news of Jesus, the good news of the gospel. And the kingdom itself is growing because we're willing to share that good news with others. Not only is this a kingdom of growth, as we're a part of the kingdom of God, but it's also a kingdom of obedience. Back in the parables out of Mark chapter 4, verse 28, he says, all by itself the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, and then the full kernel in the head. It does it because it's supposed to do it. I always find that interesting. He goes on in that second parable we looked at of describing this mustard seed. And there's other times that Jesus will refer to that and says, if you only had faith like a mustard seed. And so many times we read that, and I think rightly so, as size. Even if you just had a little tiny faith, you could do great things. But I think there's also another element in having faith like a mustard seed, and that's you're doing what you're supposed to do. The reason the mustard seed grows into this large plant isn't simply because it's small, but it's because that's what God designed it to do. It's obedient to God's plan and God's will for it as a mustard seed. And when we live as those that are a part of the kingdom of God, we live as those who are part of a kingdom of obedience. We do the things that God has called us to do. We align our will with His rather than try to shape His will to align with ours. And so many times we have in our mind, this is what I want life to look like. How can I force it into this pattern? And God calls us to a kingdom of obedience. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 24, John writes, he says, those who obey His commands live in Him and He in them. And this is how we know that He lives in us. We know it by the Spirit that He gave us. You see, this week as we live life as kingdom citizens, we live life in a kingdom of growth. We live life in a kingdom of obedience. But we also live life in a kingdom of destination. If this world, and Paul writes about that to some extent, if this world is all that we have, he says, then we are to be pitied most above all men. But it isn't all that we have. In that parables that we looked at as he talked about the birds of the air coming, in Mark chapter 4, verse 32, he says, yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade. Jesus talks about this destination, this kingdom of God that becomes a place that people gather. It's a place of belonging. It's a place where everyone, there's room for everyone. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 and 14, through 14, it says, not that I have already obtained all of this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brethren, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. You see, I believe the kingdom of God is this multifaceted place, but it's also this multifaceted way of living. And so we can live as kingdom citizens now, even knowing that the real kingdom of God is a destination that we're on a journey towards. And yet even as we make our way towards that destination, we become more and more like the kingdom citizens we're supposed to be. We get there and we're kind of prepared as much as we can be. I think of John's description of having a glimpse into heaven that we read in Revelation, and it's just so overwhelming that he passes out, that he falls to the ground as a dead man. And so there's so much that we cannot comprehend, but I believe the Bible has given us these glimpses that gives us a desire to be a part of that destination that we continually work towards. Not in a sense of earning it, but a sense of being ready for it. And when we look at what it means to be the kingdom of God, I always want to come back to say, okay, that's the description. That's what the text says. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of growth. It's a kingdom of obedience. It's a kingdom of destination. But what does that mean today? What does that mean this week? Does it change anything that I do? Does it impact my life as I go about work, as I go about recreation, as I go about whatever it is that's before me? And the answer ought to be yes, it does. What are you going to do this week that helps you to grow? That you can represent this kingdom of growth? What are you going to do this week that might help someone else to grow? By sharing that good news, by being that friend that he's called you to be. What are you going to do this week that conveys more obedience perhaps than last week did? Perhaps spending more time in God's Word, understanding there are things that he's called us to do. Evaluating yourself. Thank God, how obedient am I really? And then asking and seeking his help in living with a greater obedience to his will. As you think about that kingdom of a destination, where are you on the journey? What will you do this week to help others along in their journey? I often tell people when God is really involved in our life and we're really involved in seeking him, our prayer life becomes really a transformational part of who we are. That when we pray, that there ought to be a time of listening and obedience that says, God, there's a lot of problems going on in this world. One of the things that I've always appreciated about coming up here is the focus on praying for one another. Not just one another of those that come and gather in this room, but one another as friends and family of the community, of people that you know. And it's often out of those prayers that these responses rise up. You have a chicken barbecue coming up in a couple weeks to help meet needs. Not a new thing for the North Wayne Mennonite Church by any stretch of the imagination. But it's taking that kingdom of God, it's taking that kingdom of growth and obedience and destination and saying, we're going to represent that to a community that needs to see it. This week I'll be heading out to the greater New Orleans area to serve alongside the Ministry of IDES. And my truck is, the diapers are ready to be loaded in the truck. I'll be taking a truckload of diapers down and chainsaws and what little muscles I still have left and spending about 10 days cleaning up mess. And not because I have fun doing that, but because God tells me and leads me in my prayer time that there's things that you can do. And the fun part about being a part of the kingdom of God, about being a kingdom citizen, is the things that I can do are generally not exactly the same as the things that you can do. And so my response to a disaster is one thing. Your response to a disaster is probably a little bit different. Just as it is whether if I could speak, I'd be dangerous. Just as it is whether the disaster is across the United States, around the world, or in your next door neighbor. You see, this kingdom of God says that He's in charge. That's kind of the heart of the kingdom part. I know here in America we lose sight of that. Any of the teaching that I ever had growing up regarding kings, they were not good people. Those were the ones we rebelled against. Those are the ones that we wanted out from under their authority. That's why I became a United States of America rather than continuing under the rule of European kings. But when it comes to God, He's not a leader we elect. He's not a leader that we choose. In fact, He's a leader who has chosen us, called us to be His because He created us to be His. And as you live as a kingdom citizen this week, it's my prayer that you do so in a way that makes the kingdom of God known to the people around you, that it helps their growth. Some of the people that you will encounter this week are a part of the kingdom. They are kingdom citizens. They may be struggling. They may be further ahead than you in their relationship and their journey. They may be behind. That's not the important part. The part is they're fellow citizens. And your interaction, as we've heard this morning already, can be a great encouragement to them. There will likely be people that you interact with, at least casually, that are not kingdom citizens yet. And the way that you live in this kingdom of God, the way you desire growth, and not just your own growth, but the growth of others, the way you desire obedience, not just your own, but the obedience of others, the way you desire that destination, not just for yourself, but for others, will go a long way into representing Jesus and making Him known. The Bible says that if Jesus is lifted up, that He will draw all men to Himself. This kingdom of God is about lifting up Jesus. Would you spend some time praying with me today? Father, thank You that Your Word has been given in a way that encourages us, that challenges us, that equips us, it prepares us to do the very work that You created far in advance for us to do. Father, today I pray that each person that's hearing these words would allow your spirit to do an examination. An examination that reveals the kingdom of God and how they're living in it. Father, help us to see the growth that has taken place in our life already, even as we see the growth that still needs to take place. May we continually press on towards that prize, towards that heavenward calling. Father, may that examination include a look at our obedience. And for those times where we've said to ourselves, I know what the Bible says, but I just don't. May you, Spirit, not only convict us, but may we repent and receive that forgiveness that prepares us to be more obedient. Father, as we consider the destination, may we live in such a way that we're not fully satisfied here on earth because our eyes are fixed higher. And may we recognize the space, the room, the invitation for all to be a part of this destination. And God, today, may we choose to live differently this coming week because we're more aware of living as kingdom citizens. And may the kingdom of God be visible because we're in the world, but not of it. And Father, as we go about life, whatever our day brings, may we lift up Jesus at every opportunity that we have so that many would be drawn to Him. It's in His name that I pray. Amen.